We are continuing our study of 2 Peter. So if you'll turn to 2 Peter with me. Will that work? Okay. And let's start in chapter 1, verse 12. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So we've made the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Now, that's a dense package, but we're going to try to take it bit by bit. And just a little background on this. This book of 2 Peter was probably written about 66 A.D. And Paul says in this, he says, my departure is imminent. But he also says this, as the Lord has made clear to me. So that there was something about his approaching death that somehow, for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit had actually given him clear information. So if you go back to John 21 for a second. In John 21, we have the passage where Jesus walks Peter through the three "Do you love me's" and restores Peter to his position of leadership and his position of ministry. And right after the final admonition for Peter to tend the sheep, in verse 18 of John 21, Jesus says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." And then John gives this comment on that, on those words. "Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he'd spoken this, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" So here's this interaction, we've talked about it before, where Peter had denied Christ three times. And in this interaction where Jesus says, "Do you love me?" And where the first time Jesus says, "Do you love me?" with a divine quality of love, agape love. And Peter answers with a lower word, "I love you like a brother." Jesus again says, "Do you love me?" with an agape love, a divine, unconditional quality of love. Once again, Peter says, "I love you like a brother." And the third time in the Greek, Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me like a brother?" And Peter says, with grief, "You know I do." And so here's Jesus asking for this high quality of love. Peter says, "This is all I've got to offer right now." And each time, Jesus says, "Feed my sheep, tend the flock, take care of my lambs." So that despite the fact that Peter is not yet matured into the quality of love that God is asking of him, Jesus personally restores Peter to leadership and to ministry. And that's an incredible lesson of the grace of God and the equipping of God and the willingness of God to begin where we are if we're willing to go and move. But Jesus ends that right after Peter says, "This is all I've got." Jesus ends that with this incredible prophecy, and he's saying, "You know what, Peter? One day, I'm predicting this, one day you will love me with that unconditional, death-defying quality of love. I'm predicting that one day, when you're an old man, your hands will be stretched out and you will show your love for me." And John even says, he said this to signify the kind of death. So we actually know that about 67 AD, that Peter was crucified. We have quite a few of the early church fathers in letters and admonitions and teachings back and forth in the first 200 or 300 years after Christ that the church fathers referenced his death by crucifixion a few times. The fact that he died in Rome a few times. Excuse me. Too much chili for breakfast. But what he says, what he says here is, God's told me it's imminent. And we now know historically, it was a year or less away. Now, some of you already know this. There's also sort of a church legend, but it only comes from one source, that he was crucified upside down because he considered himself unworthy to be crucified right side up like Christ. Nothing about our faith, nothing about the Word of God, nothing about who Jesus is depends on whether that happened. But it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me at all that finally Peter got to that point where he says, "You know what, let's do this, but I'm not even going to pretend that I'm at his level. Let's get it done a more grueling way." But that recognition that Peter was just months away from his death, and he knew it, and we're reading Peter's passionate conveyance of truth and wanting to stir up truth for the folks that he's writing to. So he says this, back to 1 Peter. I mean, sorry, back to 2 Peter, chapter 1. Knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me, I will be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. So Peter is giving us a mindset, and then, as so often is true, as we're reading something in Scripture, it's not just, well, how interesting that Peter had that mindset. But how you and I take on this mindset, how you and I pursue the same mindset. So, first of all, he uses that word diligent, which has already come up three times just in this first chapter. Diligent, that there's a passionate pursuit of some goal that is worth pursuing. It's a passionate pursuit. It's not complacent. It's not just, well, if circumstances make it easy. It's no, I'm going to put work into this. And we've already had numerous discussions. The difference between work to try to earn our place with God is way different than recognizing, but now that I have this place with God, now that I have this position in Christ, I've got a lot of work to do to carry out the purposes of the kingdom. And that work does not earn the Father's love. That work does not earn my salvation. It is the working out of my salvation. It is the expression that I agree with God what's valuable in the universe. And so I work at different things that I would work for if I didn't know God, and I work in a different way than if I think this work earns my place. That now I work in gratitude, and I work in love, and I work in thankfulness for the privilege I have to participate. But Peter is diligent. There's a passionate pursuit of something here. And here's what it is. that you will be able to call these things to mind. So a couple of verses earlier in 12, he says, I will always be ready to remind you of these things. In 13, I consider it right, as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. So he keeps using this idea of, you guys already know this stuff. And I don't do this on purpose, but I realize that a lot of times when I'm preaching, I sort of introduce the next topic by saying, I know you guys already know this stuff. But part of what Peter is saying here is, it's not simply enough that we know it. It's that I hear it again, and that somehow by the work of the Holy Spirit, it stirs me up to something fresh. So that it's not always about new knowledge. Now, there are plenty of times, and I love that after being a Christian for 59 years, after being a Christian for 59 years, there are still absolutely times when I'm in the Word of God and I'll see something and recognize, I've never noticed that before. Literally, I've never noticed that before. Or where I'm in the Word of God and this thing connects to that thing and I've never noticed that connection before. So none of us are finished even just learning. But what Peter is talking about here goes beyond learning facts or learning a new doctrine. He's saying, you guys already know this stuff. You've been believers long enough that the basic truths are planted in you. But I am passionately pursuing this, that I want to stir up something in you that wakes up what you do with the things you know. But he has this other goal. He's saying, you know what? When I'm dead and gone in a little while, I actually am aiming for this truth that you still grow in these things. That now they're not waiting for Peter to come back and remind them because they've done something with it. Let's go to the passage that was read for us this morning, back in Romans chapter 15. So we have Peter wanting to remind us of things. Now we have Paul in Romans 15 starting... Let's start at 13 again. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I actually want to pause for a second. This isn't the point of the sermon. But the recognition that we get to recognize, if I'm believing the truth, and I'm growing in the truth, and I'm tasting the truth, and I'm getting passionate about the truth, peace and joy and hope should be increasing in me. And I just recently had a family I'm working with where the teenage boy, you know, and he's a teenage boy, so we can take everything with a grain of salt. I'm sorry. I was a teenage boy too. But what he said was that he was struggling to believe Christianity because he did not see joy in his parents. And so somehow that kid had read the Bible enough or heard it enough that he said, aren't I supposed to be seeing joy? All I see is hard work and frustration and anger. And that really was, and they acknowledged, yeah, that's all we're showing him. Hard work, frustration, and anger. And so the whole family recognized that means there's something deeper we all need to be growing in, so that this teenage boy, and I think there's three other boys coming behind him, would actually grow and say, you know what? One of the reasons I believe in Jesus Christ is because I watched mom and dad through the years grow in joy, grow in peace, grow in hope. It doesn't mean they were perfect at it, but it sort of looked like they really got this stuff and it changed things. And so without taking on condemnation or, you know, looking back and going, oh no, I've already blown it as a parent. That recognition that we get to continue growing. Erin is 34 years old, and I promise you, she still graciously gives me freedom to grow and, in a sense, teach her new things by my continuing growth. So she's not in the home. I don't get to go in there and pray with her at 10 o'clock or 1 o'clock in the morning, probably 3 o'clock now that she's on her own. But that recognition that her life is still open to growth in Carrie's life and my life. And I know that's true for many families here. So just because they left home, the journey isn't over, and the evidence that this is real doesn't end. We get to keep growing in love, hope, joy, peace, because this stuff really works. And he makes it real clear by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is not, uh-oh, I better show hope. I need to grit my teeth and pretend hope. This is about something genuinely real growing because I'm in union with God and I'm gathering the resources that feed peace, that feed joy, that feed hope. Then he goes on and says, and concerning you, my brethren, I myself am also convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. What an incredible pat on the back he's giving these folks. You're full of goodness. You're full of knowledge. And he's not pretending that they're sinlessly perfect and complete and finished in their growth. But he's saying, I see the evidence of God accomplishing change in your lives, and it is genuine and it is beautiful. And he's pointing at both knowledge and he's pointing at character. I see a growth of character, good character in you, and I see a growth of accurate doctrine, accurate knowledge, that you know the truth about Jesus Christ. You know the truth of God. You know the truth of your position in Christ. You know these truths. And then out of that goodness and out of that knowledge, true knowledge, he says this, and also able to admonish one another. But I have written very boldly to you on some points so as to remind you again. And so, similar to Peter, Paul is saying, you know what? You already know this stuff, but I'm going to say it one more time because it will be good for you to hear it again. Go to Ephesians. I'm sorry. Yes. Go to Philippians. Chapter 3. And this is Paul again in Philippians 3:1 saying this, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. And actually, we could go to John in his letters. We could go to Jude in his letter, where they both express the same thing. I want to remind you of things you already know. And that recognition that, in fact, John says it this way, that you would abide in what you know. It's not just that you know it, but as Jesus said in John 15, that you abide in these things and these things abide in you so that there is a living engagement with what we know. I want to go back to, you don't have to look at it, but in Romans 15, what he just said was because of what you know, because of how you've been growing, because of what God's been teaching you, and you've actually been learning it, and I'm reminding you of it, but it's in there already, you're also equipped to admonish one another. And he uses, we hit this word every now and then, admonish. It means correct. It means warn. It also means remind of duty, obligations, and that it's a passionate. But what's interesting, because I think we forget this in this, this word also carries with it with gentleness, with respect. So you and I need to be reminded of things that we already know, and you are equipped to come remind me. I'm equipped to remind you. You're equipped to remind each other. So that recognition of you're not waiting to just go to a Sunday school class. You're not just waiting to go to a sermon. You're not just waiting to go to a Bible study. That as you interact with your fellow family members, husbands, wives, parents, children, brothers and sisters, you interact with others in the family that are believers, that you'd recognize, this is part of my calling. That I remind the people in my family about true things. But it's always from a spirit of gentleness and respect. It always has, in fact, this warning thing, basically, it carries with it the sense of, you know what, we're on this road, and I want to make sure you don't slide off that side into the ditch, and I want to make sure you don't slide off this side into the ditch. So I'm giving you a warning that helps you stay on track. It's not just a warning because I'm fearful of things. It's about you being safe. It's about you being on the right direction and journey. So this admonition that you and I are equipped for means we better be in relationship. So I know I've said this before, but and a number of folks right here in the church fit in this category. There are people that I am so confident they love me that they can come admonish me and I'll take it. I'll receive it from them. I'll hear it from them because I know they love me. And so admonishment within the body of Christ means before I'm coming to correct you, I better be building a love relationship with you. So if you haven't heard from me in 3 years, and then I show up and I go, hey, I've noticed some ways you're really screwing up, and I'm here to tell you to get on track. You go, oh, Reg, thank you so much for caring enough about me. Where have you been the last 3 years? So that love relationship is the foundation for this to work. Now, that's not a new idea because it's woven through the whole New Testament. But the recognition that even when the Word of God says, now admonish one another, correct one another, teach one another, it's always assumed to be on the foundation that we're building quality love relationships, that we're expressing care, we're paying attention, we're praying for one another. So that recognition, so as you look around, so go ahead, look around. Look around this fellowship and recognize these are the people who can admonish me. And these are the people I may need to admonish. So we get to be building love relationships so that we're ready for that moment when you need a reminder. And again, I will probably never have many times in life where I would come tell you something or you would come tell me something where either one of us would go, I've never heard that before. Stealing? Stealing's bad? Whatever it is you see in me that is ungodly, unloving, that is impatient, that is presumptuous, that is prideful, anything you see in me, odds are about 99.9% that if you come to me and admonish me for it, I would go, I know, I know. And vice versa. So again, we're reminding, almost never will we have to teach a new thing. For those who've been in Christ for a while, the knowledge is there. And maybe even as Paul was talking in Romans 15, we may already see growth. But now here's this area that needs a warning, that needs a caution, that needs a reminder, that needs some kind of input to stir up, as Peter says here in 2 Peter 1, to stir up what we already know for greater living. Now, if you were in Sunday school, you know, and I, every now and then I reference the Sunday school study, and I realize there are some people who can't be there for that. So I'm never just trying to make you feel guilty that you can't be there for Sunday school. But if you can, it would be delightful to have you there. But in Sunday school, we were recognizing this incredibly challenging dilemma of how do I comprehend growth where I cannot grow without the power of Christ, and yet I'm still called to desire. I'm still called to pursue. I'm still called to make choices and go do things. And that if I'm actually desiring growth, that now I get to have this very practical father-son, father-daughter conversation with God. Father, am I busy admonishing myself? Am I busy reminding myself of these truths for growth? So your time in the Word, my time in the Word, is one of the main ways we remind ourselves of what we already know. But that when we're pondering the Word, oh, It's right here. Here's a new thing I've never said before. Of course I have. That we're in the Word and we're recognizing, how am I supposed to grow from this truth? Not just, what do I already know about this truth, or how have I already grown? That's wonderful. You and I have this incredible freedom, and it is real. We have the freedom to notice growth in our life, to notice where we are today, different than where we were 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 40 years ago, and be delighted of how God has accomplished growth. As long as we have that wisdom, I couldn't have done this by myself. I absolutely could not have pursued growth and accomplished growth by myself. This is the evidence of the Holy Spirit. This is the evidence of the life of Jesus Christ coming to dwell in me. But we're free to be delighted at the evidence of His work in us. But where we're not complacent, so that every time we look into the Word, we go, how about now? What could I take out of this Word now for growth? So that there's a humility and there's a readiness for growth that means I'm willing to be reminded of things I already know, but as Peter says, so that I will be stirred up for greater growth. Now, every one of us, today was half a sermon, and we'll continue the sermon next Sunday, but that recognition that every time I'm in the Word, God has something to say. And I'm not just saying that because I think it's a clever saying. I really believe that that's literally true. That if you're a son of God, if you're a daughter of God, and it doesn't matter whether you're 6 years old or you're 96 years old, if you're a son or daughter of God and you're in the Word, that God's saying, I have some things to remind you of. I occasionally might have a brand new thing to teach you, but I always have something to stir up for you to go deeper into the love relationship with me and deeper into love relationship with those around. Tracy was talking this morning in Sunday school about the challenge of this package of love relationship, where we can love God, and He says, but here's the second commandment. Now love all those imperfect sinners around you. And some of the most imperfect ones will be the ones you have to see every day. Love them out of the same heart and mind and spirit of loving God, because God's going to be the source of that love. And that's going to change something. So part of what I would encourage all of you to do, because the challenge and encouragement is for me as well, is that when you're in the Word of God this week, and most of you will be, if you don't have a plan to be in the Word of God, that's a good place to start. And I'm not being facetious. If you don't have a plan to be in the Word of God this week, that's a good place to start. Is say, Father, let's make sure we have a plan to get into the Word this week. And when I go into the Word, I'm going to be listening for how You want me to grow, and then I'm going to be trusting that You've provided what I need to grow. So we will continue next week at Peter's admonitions for this growth. Let's pray together. Father, we have to believe this, that when You commanded us to grow, You knew who You were talking to. You knew it was me You would be saying this to. You knew it was each one of us that You would be giving this challenge, that You wanted to stir up truth in us so that we go further and deeper in what You've prepared for us. Father, further and deeper, first and foremost, of what we understand and enjoy about You loving us. And this is real, Father. You really want us to understand that You love us. And not just some frivolous, fluffy, emotional warmth toward us, but that Your love was tested. Jesus, You had to endure the wrath we deserved as the expression of Your love so that we could be rescued and forgiven. So Your love is solid. Your love is dense. Your love is powerful and effective. That we would grow in understanding Your love, and then we would grow in loving You back. We'd grow in comprehending with gratitude all the things you've placed in our life to express your love, and then everything you've put in our hands so that now we are the expression of your love to somebody else. For our own husbands, wives, children, parents, our friends, our relatives, our neighbors, our co-workers. Father, literally, you've said this, even our enemies, people who are now operating against us, you've equipped us to grow in loving them. Father, you know that one of our biggest challenges is laziness. And I pray that even in that, we would be willing to come into your presence and gain a vision that motivates us past our laziness. To gain a wisdom and a vision of our calling and the power and the effectiveness of our calling and the purposes of our calling. That it will matter for the rest of eternity that each one of us were willing to grow. Thank you for your patience, Father, while you work on these things in us. But also thank you for your faithfulness. That you don't give up, as we sang already. You don't give up. You don't run away. You keep working for our growth and our blessing. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.